Last year, you heard me talk to you about the fish that I caught in October, a muskie 54 inches long. I was out with one of my friends who's a professional muskie guide, and when I landed that thing, it took about 8 minutes to get to the boat. He was cool as a cucumber, didn't sweat it, told me what to do, how to bring it up. But once it got about 10 feet from the boat and turned sideways and he could see it, he lost his mind. He said, get a net, get two nets, everybody get ready. And I realized at that point, if a seasoned fisherman is excited, this must be a big fish. This must be a big deal. And that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer Garth Heckman, David Alliance. Reach out to me, tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Love hearing from my listeners. Bryce, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for passing on the podcast. Super, super appreciative. And thanks for any of the reviews that any of you leave on any of the podcast channels, whether it be iTunes or Podbean. Also, we're brought to you by Well Built Body, gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. WellBuiltBody.com. So today, I'm not talking about fishermen or fishing as much as I'm talking about fishermen. And it's right out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 24. I'll read it real quick. Classic story. You've probably heard it, but it's really interesting when you study it. Matthew 8:23. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. That would be Jesus. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Maybe you don't know anything about the Sea of Galilee, and that's why I'm here. It's 13 miles long. Well, I guess if you're in the boat and eating, it could be 13 meals. 13 miles long, 3 to 4 miles wide, 680 feet below sea level, and was sided to the far right on the west side, on the far east side by canyons and mountains. So what would happen is the water below sea level would get really hot, and the cold air coming through the canyons and the mountains would be cold. It would hit the sea and cause these storms. And so the disciples and anyone who's a fisherman, they knew about this. There was no big deal. Jesus said, get into the boat. We're going to the other side. They did. They expected to be safe. When you follow Jesus and you follow his commands, wouldn't you expect to be safe? I guess apparently it doesn't mean you'll necessarily be safe, but anyway. So they get in and a storm hits. Now in the Greek word there, seismos, which is where we get, you know, seismograph or any of that, it's translated into earthquake of the sea or a sea earthquake. That's how big this storm was. Now, these disciples, they've been through storms. They're fishermen. They've weathered some pretty tough stuff. But if they are losing their mind and they're waking up Jesus, save us, save us, it's got to be, well, as my grandpa would say, one humdinger of a storm. Again, going back to my friend who's the fishing guide, he was all calm, cool, and collected when I first landed that muskie until he saw the size of it. And then his reaction told me, this must be some kind of fish, which it was. 54-inch muskie was the largest fish he'd ever pulled into his boat. The disciples had the same reaction. So this was one heck of a storm. It was massive. But here's the deal. When you read it in the Greek, you understand that as massive as a sea earthquake is, and it sounds massive, there's a juxtaposition here in the Greek, because it says, and a great calm came upon the water. Jesus rebukes the storm, and a great calm came above. Now you go, great calm, isn't calm? Like, what's a great calm? I'm calm. Now I'm going to be greatly calm. What is it, I fall asleep? Now see, the Greek doesn't have a way to translate into the English. What it means is that the seas and the winds and the rain were immediately calm. Like, look, when I would water ski and tube with all my friends, I grew up having a ski boat. We'd do this thing where we'd pull people on the inner tube and we'd go in circles until this giant pool of waves, you know, we called them sharkies, They'd just be hurtling up into the air, and we'd peel out, and then we'd come by, and we'd swing the person on the tube right through the center of these sharkies. And, you know, it kind of like, bam, and then they just fly off the tube, and they'd get hurt, and it was awesome. But when you drive away, those waves on the sea or on that lake, they still took a while to subside. It'd take 5 to 10 minutes for the wake and the waves to calm down, and for the sea to get calm, or the boat to get calm, water to get calm. Yes, I'm having problems today. You get what I'm saying. But that's not what this says in the Greek. It says that they wake Jesus. We're going to die. Save us. And he gets up and he says, be calm. And boom, immediately, instantly, it was miraculous. Not just that he could command the weather and command nature, but in the effect that it had, that it was so immediate. Boom, be calm. But that's not even where I'm going today. You know, when you read the story, you almost miss this tiny little statement. It seems insignificant, but it punches you in the face. Imagine you're a disciple. You've been a fisherman. You're in a storm that's causing you to wet your pants, and not just because of the rain and the storm. You are freaking the freak out. You wake Jesus, and he doesn't jump up and go, whoa, I didn't know what was going on. Hey, peace, calm, and calm. No, you're freaking out. You wake him up. And the very first thing he does before he rebukes the storm, he rebukes you. He literally, read it. It says they wake him up, we're going to die. And he gets up and he rebukes them. Oh, you of little faith. What's your problem? It's like, what a disappointment. Why are you wasting my time? I was asleep. I was having a good dream. Don't you hate it when someone wakes you up and you're having a good dream? Now, why would Jesus say this? See, the disciples weren't the disciples believed he was all-powerful, omniscient, had all authority. They woke him because they believed he could help them. But the point was, Jesus wasn't disappointed that they woke him because they believed in him. He was disappointed because he says, you of little faith, you could have taken care of this. Didn't you just read the two previous chapters of miracles, healing, signs, wonders? Yes, you have faith in me, but you don't have faith of me in you. Handle your business. This was on you. Next time, don't wake me. Do it yourself. Garth Heckman, David Alliance. Keep slaying giants.